Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Revelation chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. After these things, I saw, and behold, a door had opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as the sound of a shofar speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show to you what is necessary to happen after these things. And immediately I became in spirit, that is, in the spirit realm. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and upon the throne one sitting. And the one sitting was like, and notice these descriptive words that are used through the book of Revelation, the words like and as. That means these were like certain things or as certain things as we know them in the human realm. But it doesn't mean that they are. When we get to chapters 20 and 21, we'll see that the streets of heaven are like gold. The streets of heaven are not gold. They are like gold. And the key to all of this is Revelation 21:18 that says that the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, is made out of clear glass like crystal. And the glory of God is in the midst of this city. And the glory and power of God is radiating out from the middle of the city. And what John sees is a prism, something of clear glass like crystal with light shining through it. And he sees all these various colors. And that's why he describes it as like certain colors. So this shofar said, come up here, and I will show you what things are necessary to happen after these things. Immediately I became in spirit. Behold, a throne was sitting in heaven, and upon the throne one sitting. And the one sitting was like, in appearance, to a jasper and sardis stone. And a rainbow was around the throne, like in appearance to an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw those sitting were 24 elders who had been clothed in white garments. They had upon their heads golden crowns. And out of the throne is going. Notice the present tense there. It was happening as he sees it. And out of his throne is going lightnings and thunders and voices or sounds. And seven lamps burning. Seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne is a glassy sea, like a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. And the first living creature was like to a lion. And the second living creature was like to a calf. And the third living creature had the face as a man or human. And the fourth living creature was like to an eagle flying. And the four living creatures, one by one, had each one six wings all around. And they were full of eyes in front. And they had no rest day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We just got through singing that, hymn number 41. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The one who was existing, the one who is existing, and the coming one. And whenever the four living creatures would give glory and honor and thanksgiving to the one sitting upon the throne, the one living forever and ever, the 20 and four elders fall down before the one sitting upon the throne, and they worship the one living forever and ever. And they throw their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because you created all things. And on account of your will, they exist and were created." Chapters 4 and 5, we're at the throne of God. God is about ready to unleash his judgment upon the earth. Verse 1 is our transition verse that introduces us to this chapter. John started out with metatauta, after these things. After what things? Well, in chapter 1, verse 19, we had the summary breakdown of the whole book. Chapter 1, verse 19, the Lord told John to write down the things that he saw. That would be the appearance of Christ in verses 9 through 20 of chapter 1. Then he said, write down the things which are, that is presently existing conditions. That would be the church in chapters 2 and 3. And then he says, and write down what things are metatauta after these things. After what things? The things of the church in chapters 2 and 3. So after these things, this is now the beginning of the third and final section of the book of Revelation. After these things I saw, and behold, a door had opened in heaven. The tense of the modifier says that when he saw the door was already open in heaven. And secondly, the first voice or sound which I heard as a shofar, which is the horn that the Jews would blow to call together the assembly of Israel. A shofar was speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show to you what is necessary to happen, metatauta, after these things. So we also saw the evidences that are put forth here, because many believe that Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is presenting the rapture of the church into heaven prior to the tribulation period. We have evidences here. The door is already open. The first voice, which we know from chapter 1, is the Lord. And the Lord says to John, come up here. Come through the door. And I will show you what has to happen after these things, after the things of the church. So John is now in heaven, and he is describing what he sees around the throne. Chapter 5, we're going to see the Lamb come and take the scroll and break the seals, and we're going to see the judgments that are issued from God upon the earth. But John is going to be in heaven. We also have 24 elders, and we'll get to those in a moment. But so he's in heaven, and the Lord says, I want to show to you things that are necessary to happen, metatauta, after these things. So immediately I became in spirit. That is, he was caught up in the spirit realm, had a time capsule-like experience. Though physically, geographically, he was on the island of Patmos, in the spirit realm, he was caught up right to the throne of God. The first thing he saw was a throne was set in heaven. Now, he's going to describe two instances now about thrones. He didn't see just a throne empty and someone come out and sit in the throne. He is taking these two elements apart and showing us that these two elements, there's the throne and the person sitting on the throne, and he wants to show us two distinctives here. He saw the throne was set in heaven. The throne, the thronos, represents rule and authority. So he says the throne where one sits that rules and has authority over all of creation was in heaven. And upon the throne, one sitting. Then he gives us a description of the one who was sitting on the throne was like in appearance to a jasper and a sardis stone. Notice like in appearance. What he saw, and we'll see in a moment again, is clear glass, but the glory of God radiating out from the throne of God was clear, and the jasper is a clear stone, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 11, that jasper is clear, and many believe that this stone was actually the diamond. And then the sardis stone was ruby red. And so we have clear and we have red. We have purity, we have blood red with the first stone, with the second stone coming out from the throne of God. This one who is sitting has these two combinations, clear and red, radiating out from the throne because of the power and the glory of the one sitting on the throne. And as I mentioned to you, these two stones also happen to be the first and the last stones on the breastplate of the high priest in Exodus chapter 28. It has the sardius stone first and the jasper last. The sardius stone represents Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, the firstborn. Reuben means behold a son. The last stone in the rows that equal 12, we have four rows of three each. The last stone is the jasper stone, and that represents Benjamin. He was the last born. And Benjamin means son of my right hand. So what we have here with the glory of God radiating out from the throne, we have the two colors that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. We also have the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. We also have what these stones mean. Behold the Son. The son of my right hand in glorification of Jesus Christ that's coming out from this throne. And then also he saw a rainbow around the throne, likened in appearance to an emerald that is green. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 13 through 17, we saw that the rainbow represents God's covenant of faithfulness and promise. So one day when we stand before the throne, this rainbow, all green, it itself is clear as crystal, but again, the emanating glory of God shining through it, it's going to remind us of God's faithfulness and that he is faithful to keep his promise with us, and we are in heaven based on his promise, based on his covenant with us. Verse 4, and around the throne were 24 thrones. And again, he's separating the people who are sitting on the throne from the thrones themselves. These 24 thrones are placed there, indicating that the people sitting on them are ruling and reigning with the one who is sitting on the big throne. There are 24 thrones. And upon these thrones are 24 elders sitting, showing a position of rule and reign, having been clothed in white garments. And also, they had on their heads golden crowns. These 24 elders we took last week, there are several things we want to mention. The number 24 represents completeness, not perfection. That's the number 7. The number 24, completeness, completeness in coverage. What happened in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 4 through 18, is that David set up 24 courses of priests to cover the temple practices all year long. And he would take the priests and divide them into 24 groups. And each group would serve for 2 weeks out of the year, 2 1-week segments. And then all of them would serve during the feast days. So these 24 priests, these were Levite priests, 24 of them, were chosen to cover, completely cover the children of Israel before the throne of God. We saw also in 1 Chronicles chapter 25 that there were 24 courses of musicians that were also assigned by David who would play in the temple. So the number 24 is only found in 1 Chronicles chapters 24 and 25. And 24 is the number of completeness, complete coverage, so that all the children of Israel would be completely covered by these priests. So interesting about the number 24. And secondly, they are elders that are sitting on these thrones. Not priests, these are elders. Thirdly, they're sitting. I gave you a number of scriptures last week where God's people are promised that are going to rule and reign with him and to sit in judgment. They have been clothed in white garments. We saw the message to the church in Sardis, chapter 3, verse 5, as well as to the church in Laodicea in chapter 3, verse 18, that those who overcome, those who belong to Christ, are going to be dressed in white. We're going to see in chapter 7 that we will be dressed in white because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The white robes that we wear will signify the righteousness and cleansing of Jesus Christ. And then they had crowns on their heads. Some people think that maybe these 24 elders are angels. Angels are never elders. Sometimes they're dressed in white, but it's not in the white of the righteousness of Christ. They never wear crowns. And they can't be called elders because they never age. That's what the word elder means. The older. And so these have crowns on their heads. These are promised also to Smyrna in chapter 2, verse 10, that those who are faithful unto death, they will have the crown of life. Again in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, also promising the crown of life. James, in James chapter 1, verse 12, promises that for those who endure and who are blessed, those who endure the trials of life will receive the crown, the Stephanos of life. This word for crown, Stephanos, means a wreath. It's not the diadem that Christ wears, but it's the wreath that those who participate in the Colosseum games wear, those who have won the victory, those who are at the end. So this represents those who have endured the trials and who have overcome and are sitting with Christ, ruling and reigning. And then fifthly, which is just as important, and I didn't read it to you last week, but I will this morning, these 24 elders sing the song of redemption in chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. No, I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm going to read it to you. In chapter 5, John sees the one on the throne from his right side is a scroll. This scroll has seven seals. I will show you from the book of Jeremiah that it's the exact description of what is called the title deed to the earth. And when it is proclaimed, who is worthy to take the scroll? No one is found worthy in heaven, upon the earth, or under the earth. And John began to weep convulsively because no one was found worthy. And the angel said, don't cry. The lamb who has been slain, he is worthy. And so the Lord comes as a lamb, and he comes and he takes the scroll from out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, and when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and you purchased us to God in your blood from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us," that's the people singing, "to God, kings and priests, and we shall rule upon the earth and reign." And I saw and I heard the sound of many angels around the throne. But this is going to be the song that's been sung. They sing the song of redemption. You have redeemed us from out of every tribe and people and tongue. So the final conclusion, if you put all the evidences together, all the evidences point to the fact that these 24 elders represent complete coverage for the church. These 24 elders are in heaven prior to the breaking of the seals. These are redeemed. Some people think that they represent the, again, angels. But again, angels did not wear the crowns and do not sit and rule and reign with God. We do. Also, some people think that they represent, 12 of them represent Israel, and 12 of them represent the church. So it covers both Israel and the church, but the text doesn't say that. These are people who are redeemed. Some people think that this is redeemed Israel sitting on the throne. But Israel is not redeemed until the tribulation period. Romans chapter 11 tells us that all of Israel will be saved when Christ comes back at his second coming. That hasn't happened yet. But yet, presently, in heaven, are these 24 elders. 24 represent complete coverage. They are elders. We can find those words in 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, where Paul gave instructions for elders in the church. They will be dressed in white. And they will wear golden crowns on their heads. And they will sing the song of redemption. So the only conclusion we can come to from the evidences is that these 24 represent the church. We're going to see later on, when the multitudes are introduced, that whatever the four living creatures do, they're the ones that orchestrate this whole thing. Whatever the four living creatures do, the 24 elders respond. And whatever the 24 elders do, the multitudes respond. Well, these 24 elders are leading and guiding us as to what to do as our representatives. In verse 5, it says, "And going out from the throne," actually present tense, that which is going out from the throne are lightnings and thunders and sounds or voices from the throne. These three things happen in two different occasions. Number one, it happens at God's presence. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, it tells us, this is Exodus 19, 16, that on the third day in the morning, this is before the law was given in chapter 20, on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud. Then the sound of the shofar blows. That means gathered together the children of Israel. And all the people trembled because they knew what it meant. They were all supposed to gather together around the base of the mountain. God was ready to give his law. But his presence was represented by thunders and lightnings. Thick clouds were there. Secondly, they are also present in judgment. Here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, but also in Revelation chapter 8, verse 5. We see them again where the angel takes the censer, dips it in the coals that are in the censer that's burning, and he throws the coals out upon the earth in judgment. And it says that there are thunders and lightnings and sounds. Also found in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. That's Revelation 8, 5, Revelation 11, 19. They're also found during a period when God is expressing his judgment upon the earth, and it also is accompanied by an earthquake. Then lastly, Revelation chapter 16, verse 18, where again, one of the expressions of judgment come the lightnings and the thunders and the voices. And again, another earthquake accompanies all of this. So at God's presence, and when God expresses his judgment, these things are found. And what this is supposed to do for us, and what it was supposed to do for John, is to let him know that this you are placed right in the presence of the throne of God, the center of the universe in heaven. And that now it is time, not only are you in God's presence, but now it is time for God's judgment. And John would know, he being a Jew and knows the accounts of the Old Testament, it was a horrible, terrible sight in the book of Exodus to have God speak to Moses on the mountain. The people were afraid. So those three elements take place. Then something else happens, as he describes for us. And seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Again, some people think that these lamps, these are actually torches. Some people think that they are the lamps mentioned in at the end of Revelation chapter 1, which represent the seven churches in Asia. But it tells us, no, that these are the seven spirits of God. We also saw them in Revelation chapter 1 about the seven spirits of God, represented by seven torches that are burning before the throne. As we shared with you, the number seven in Scripture, especially Jewish literature, represents perfection or completeness. And so the number seven and the seven spirits of God, it doesn't mean that with God there are seven spirits, but rather this is the complete ministry of God's Spirit. It's found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, where it says about the Messiah, Isaiah 11, 2, that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him, that's deity, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and fear. Seven aspects about Messiah. In Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, it tells us, Zechariah 4, 1 to 10, it tells us that he saw a vision. And in this vision, he saw a candlestick made out of gold. And this candlestick had a bowl on its top. And there were seven lamps on this candlestick, and there were seven pipes going to the seven lamps. That would be for the oil to keep it burning. So what actually he saw was the menorah. That's why the Jews have the menorah, because of the picture in Zechariah 4, 1 to 10. So later in this chapter, Zechariah asks, what is the lamp and the lampstands? What do they represent? In Zechariah 4:10, God says, the seven lamps are the seven eyes of the Lord going up and down throughout the earth. The seven eyes of the Lord. It doesn't mean the Lord has seven eyes. It means that he sees completely. He knows everything that's happening in its incompleteness. So then we see in the next chapter in Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, that the Lord, he sees these seven lamps, which are the seven spirits of God, and that these lamps are the Lord who has seven eyes, and these are the seven spirits. So what these lamps represent, the seven spirits of God, is the all-knowing and all-seeing, complete ministry of God's Spirit. He sees everything. That's Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, about these seven spirits are the seven eyes of the Lord. So it identifies it for us in its completeness. And then verse 6, and then before the throne, as a glassy sea. Notice the word as. It wasn't water. There's no water in heaven. As a glassy sea, like to crystal. What he saw was this vast pavement-like area where the throngs of people are to stand. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 18, that I alluded to at the beginning, Revelation 21, 18 says that the new city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven came down as it was pure gold, like clear glass. Everything is going to be pure and clear. Even we in our spiritual bodies, we are going to make up this city. And we are going to be clear and pure with spiritual bodies. But the power and the glory of God is going to radiate through us, through the city. And this is what John saw. All of these colors and all of these things are likened unto glass and crystal as we know it here on the earth. But it itself won't be glass and crystal. It will just be clear and pure. This glassy sea, this vast area where the multitude stand. Then lastly, at the end of verse 6 for today, I'm saving the description and teaching on the four living creatures for next week. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne, four living creatures, not beasts, four living beings, full of eyes in front and behind. An awesome sight, these four beasts, living creatures, living beings. We also find them in Ezekiel chapter 1. We also find them in Ezekiel chapter 10. In both in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, they are called cherubim. They're also found in Isaiah chapter 6. And they are called seraphim. What does that mean? It just means, these are just words that mean they're super angels. They're special created beings for special purposes around the throne of God. And when we're through with this chapter, we're going to do a read-through of Ezekiel chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 6 and share with you how these four living creatures function. Amazing. The things that we learn about them. But these four living creatures, according to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 12, and Ezekiel 1, 17, that they are constantly in motion. That's what this text tells us later on, that they have no rest day and night. They're always on the move. And Ezekiel says they move as fast as the lightning strikes. They were zipping back and forth, taking care of what they were supposed to do around the throne. Just amazing what these living creatures are like. Now, the study of these four living creatures, I consider to be one of the most fascinating studies in all of the Bible. They're not just ordinary four living creatures. One has the face of a lion. One has the face of a calf, one has the face as a man, and one has a face as an eagle flying. It's fascinating. Each one we're going to see from Ezekiel, each one has four faces. What John sees is one of each face, different face, on these four living creatures, but every one of these living creatures, they have four faces. Each one has the face of a lion, the face of a calf, the face of a man, and the face of an eagle flying. and they don't turn when they move. Wherever he's facing, whatever direction that face is facing, that's where they go. And if they have to go left, then this face moves forward. And they're always moving forward. They're never moving backwards. But they're constantly moving. And these four creatures are around the throne, and they are the main ones orchestrating what happens around the throne of God. Now, what is fascinating is that each one of these faces represent the lead banner and ensign of the lead tribe and the children of Israel around the four sides of the tabernacle as they travel through the wilderness. One was the face of a lion. One was the face of a calf. One was the face of a man. And one was the face of an eagle. And in the middle of the tabernacle was the presence of God. So God had scripted all the way in the beginning when the children of Israel were passing through the wilderness. He had it scripted then. What they were functioning like was what it's like around the throne. They didn't even know it. And his imprint through history to always share with people and let people know what it's like around the throne of God. I think you find it fascinating, even the tribes around the tabernacle area, how they are placed also depict what it's like around the throne of God. You might find that fascinating. So next week, we're going to study verses 7 and 8, and then we're going to get into verses 9 through 11. After we get through with the description around the throne, we're going to take the description of the activities around the throne, the singing, the moving, how the four living creatures move, the 24 elders respond to that. And we will see that when we're introduced in the multitude, we're following the 24 elders. They're our elders. They represent us before the throne. And we're going to be out in this vast pavement area that looks like a glassy sea. And everything that the four living creatures do, the 24 elders will do, and everything the 24 elders do, we will do. Very orderly. The only thing that worries me, if anybody can worry in heaven, I would worry about one thing. If these living creatures never rest, where's the rest? You know, where's the peace? Everybody's taking their cues. We got to keep up with those four living creatures, you know. But these are fascinating creatures. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you right now. How many of you know what a gyroscope is? This is a gyroscope. It's a wheel within a wheel. And as you spin this, of course, the way the structure is made, it'll spin like a top. And then as it'll dart and do different things for you. We used to do it, obviously this comes, you just do it with your hand, but we used to have a string. You pull the string, and man, that thing's all, you know, and it stands upright as it's darting around and doing everything. And when you read the book of Ezekiel and says that the wheel, the movement of these four living creatures is they're on wheels. And there's a wheel within a wheel. Gyroscope, and they dart. They just move around. And they said the life, the text says the life of the creatures is in the wheel. Fascinating. Now, just to put the bait there out there for you, so that you will come back next week. We're going to do this fascinating study about the four living creatures, most fascinating study in the Bible. All right, let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for taking us just for a moment before the throne of God. Why Paul could say that the suffering and the hardship in this present time is not to be compared with the glory that we shall experience with you. Even though we are in difficult times and hardship, just keeping in mind that one day that you will wipe away our tears, there will be no more pain. And then we are going to experience and be in the midst of your glory throughout eternity. And the fact that heaven is such a fascinating place, we won't even remember where we came from. As throughout eternity, we're just going to be in awe. We pray that as we have been uplifted for a few moments in focusing on around your throne, that you would cause us to keep our eyes on Christ, that it would be an encouragement to us as it was to the Christians back in John's day, as the whole purpose for the book of Revelation was to be an encouragement that one day we will have the victory, though it doesn't seem like that now, here in the physical world. One day we're going to be with Christ and rule and reign forever and be with him in his glory. May this be an encouragement to us to face another day and another week, getting ready to face another year. And as we see the world system begin to collapse, may our hearts be uplifted, knowing that Christ is coming at any moment, that judgment and punishment is not for God's people, but for those on the earth who have rejected him. One day we will be with you. As Paul said to the Christians in Thessalonica at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, after he presented the rapture of the church, he said, comfort one another with these words. So comforting, number one, to have you with us at all times. We don't need to run. You will protect us and you will sustain us. But number two, one day you're going to take us into glory. We will shed these earthly bodies. One day we will be in your presence. We thank you that we have a living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We pray for your encouragement and refreshment this week as we continue to go through the difficult times. We pray that you would bless and minister through us to others to be an encouragement to them that the end is coming and our hope is in heaven, not upon the earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.